This is Arsene Wenger. Welcome to FIFA Training Center.
You're listening to FIFA Insight Live, a Training Center podcast. Throughout the 2022 FIFA World Cup in Qatar, we are taking you inside the game like never before. This fly-on-the-wall audio experience is putting you inside the car with our team of experts as they travel to all 64 matches at the FIFA World Cup. The final whistle is blown in the game between Croatia and Belgium. You're now entering the minds of some of the world's finest football brains.
Welcome back, everyone, to day 12 of the FIFA World Cup Qatar 2022, and you're listening to the FIFA Insight Live podcast. My name is Mark Roberts, and with us today, as we leave a nail-biting and tense fixture between Croatia and Belgium, is Sunday Alisa, Pascal Zubabula, Mr. Alberto Zaccheroni, and FIFA's Chris Loxton and Harry Lowe. So before tonight, Belgium had reached at least the quarter-final stage of the last four major tournaments, but that run ended tonight as Morocco and Croatia progress from Group F. Sunday, almost a game of two halves tonight. How do you think Belgium managed the opening 45?
Well, I think the opening 45 minutes already told us the tone of the game. The Belgians started out with a 4-2-3-1 playing formation, but they were very static, that when you're looking at the top, you could see the groups in the team. They tried to be compact without possession, but in as much as they tried to be compact without possession, there was very little pressing. They were not compact enough and positioned good enough to be near their opposition to get the ball back. It was as if they were just waiting for the opposition to make errors, to make wrong passes, and that made it not too difficult for the opponents. Going forwards, they had no really focal point, to like a point that they could reach up to in front, that they could play up to. They had very little creativity. And when they had the ball and they tried to play, they didn't have the third man runs. Third man runs is just like, for our viewers to understand it, it's in football when a player has a ball and he's playing to a second person. When the ball is on the way to the second person, there must be a third person already running, trying to ask for the ball. That way it keeps circulates. When a team plays it with a third man run, you get more, you're more mobile, you can keep the ball more, and then you get more scoring chances because then you have the element of surprise that was missing. So the first half was really not much to write about for Belgium.
No, thank you. Great explanation. I know, as you say, we'll explore the second half shortly as well. And Alberto, you observed Croatia for us tonight. Explain to us what you've seen.
When they had per possession, they took a formation of a 4-3-3. When they were defending, they went on a 4-1-4-1 formation. When you look at it, it was well made out for the first 25 minutes of the game. In fact, what Mr. Zanetti said, like the first 25 minutes, they had a grip on the game, and then eventually it just became like a both sides could try to make influence on the game. They were very well organized as regards keeping the three quarters of the pitch in order.
Well,
lateral balls give them some problems. Well, the counter-attacks were not really effective because there was so much ball contacts and going from one person to the other laterally, so they couldn't really hurt the opposition. Well, they looked in all. They dominated because they had superiority in the midfield.
A mio parere hanno dominato in mezzo al campo, nell'imbuto centrale.
Well, in fact, when they were in possession and they went on to the attack, only three players stayed behind and the others were involved in the offensive play. They couldn't be decisive in their finishing because the space to finish was not there for the strikers to dive into.
Hanno messo questi palloni tra portiere e difesa che gli attaccanti della Croazia non sono stati bravi ad attaccare.
Il Belgio in the offensive areas looked better.
Quindi i punti forti della Croazia sono stati.
Well, what impressed him the most was the organization of the midfield play and especially Modric himself, who was like a standard point in the game.
È stato il grande protagonista secondo me di questa partita. Quello che non mi è piaciuto della Croazia.
Well, what he did not like most was the central, the point striker, who was not available enough to be able to be played.
Non ha tenuto palla, si sono proposti poco, cominciare da Kramaric.
And Harry, Alberto and Sunday discussed, I guess, a balance in the opening 45 before the game started to open up. What was the data telling us?
Yeah, and that was reflected in some of our numbers at half-time. So looking at our possession control metric, Croatia 45, Belgium 48%. In contest was as little as 7%, which is quite low for this metric. And even split defensive line breaks as well. So Croatia had 7 and Belgium with 8. And even as well for midfield line breaks, with Croatia on 38, Belgium on 37. And what Sunday also discussed with me during the game is he thought that Belgium were perhaps defending a little bit deeper than Croatia were when they both didn't have the ball. Their defensive line height was 28 metres for Belgium, in comparison to Croatia at 40 metres, how deep their last defender was to their goal line. So, yeah, and quite an even split of the numbers as well.
And maybe one point to add just on the first half as well is, look, Croatia, obviously they came out to win this game. They were very, very prominent in the first 20-25 minutes. But then we saw Lovia, the striker of Croatia, being left again on his own up front. We've seen Lewandowski in the Poland games exactly the same, being left as a lone striker. And I think that just invited Belgium on, because he couldn't keep the ball. They were not winning any second balls. And I think that's probably where we saw Belgium really come into it in the second part of that first half, simply because when Croatia did regain the ball, they just couldn't keep the ball with that lone striker up front. I don't think it's a tactic that's worked very well in this World Cup with the teams that have played that lone striker.
No, thank you, Harry, and thank you, Chris, as well. Really, really detailed insight. And Sunday, I guess, from following on from that, how did that, I guess, impact what you observed from Belgium's second half?
Well, the second half, well, we had already made out those points, pointers that we found as errors in them. There was introduction of Lukaku, and Lukaku in the second half. Lukaku came in, and also they introduced eventually Jeremy Doku. Well, then we saw a total different look, especially going forwards, in the sense that all of a sudden we started seeing the third man runs, and then we started seeing the third man running up for the ball, and they started getting more chances to play. And also with the fact that Lukaku was there, the two central defenders from Croatia were now, they could not risk leaving their zones anymore. So that kind of like kept the Croatians back up. But the most surprising thing of this whole thing was that at the end of the day, it looks as if the Belgians are just plainly unlucky, because Lukaku's presence did not only move the whole Croatian defense, his size and his movement and his strength probably gave him four scoring chances that could have easily won this game 4-1 today, but that did not turn out to be the case. Personally, at the end of the day, if we look at it, Belgium, the first half, had this one particular phase. The second half, when they made the changes and the runs started coming in, third man's runs started coming in, they were not really dominating that highly, but the movements that they were now being coupled moved the Croatians and created chances for Lukaku to be more dangerous. So that was the difference, I think.
Interestingly, Sunday, what you say there about the chances that Lukaku had, although Belgium didn't score tonight, with our expected goals metric, they were expected to score 4. They were that was the score we had for Belgium. The previous best is 3.5. So they've now, although they've gone out, they've now got our record for the best expected goals in a match.
Thank you, Harry. And I think summarise as well what Sunday was discussing. And Zuby, 100th cap for Courtois tonight, but thoughts on that, but also the role of both goalkeepers throughout?
Okay, first of all, I'm normally very happy to talk when we have a clean sheet, a 0-0, about the goalkeepers. But I have to say, first of all, Courtois, yes, he made a few comfortable saves in the second half. And what I have to say on him, he's a world-class top goalkeeper. It looks not spectacular how he saved the balls, but his positioning and especially his first step is brilliant. And with his size, it looks for us from the stand not really very spectacular. But he had a nice clean sheet. And on the other side, Livakovic. As Mr. Zaccaroni already mentioned before, I have to give him 100% right. He was not connected to the team today. I don't know. He had, of course, not his best day. And if you are playing like he played today, normally you have not a clean sheet, and normally you will concede a goal, and normally you will be out of a tournament. And yes, thanks to all his teammates, they didn't concede any goal finally, and Croatia is going through. And those games happen, but he was not very concentrated in this game, and he didn't look very, very comfortable in his in few actions, especially in the second half.
If I may add something just before we close up now, it's rarely do I like to point fingers at players, but this time around, I must do it, because what Luka Modric brought to the pitch today, this just shows to the world how one player can influence. He was the most influential player on the pitch in the sense that he gave rhythm to the game. And I think that is, like Chris was noting, that the striker of the Croatians was alone up front. It was because they sacrificed who was supposed to be a second striker in Modric to now be everywhere on the pitch. And he gave tempo to each, the passing and the movements, and his style of play rubbed on his colleagues, because you see they also look for short movements in the spaces and everything. And he is so clairvoyant, because he knows when to change the game. He plays with only one right foot, but it's the right foot is also the left foot, because with the outside of his foot he's always as precise as that. And that was the difficulty, I think, that the Belgians had today, because he was always just, he knew when to play quick, when to slow it down. When his team was under pressure, he killed the game. When his team needed to counter-attack, he played it quick. So I really must congratulate him.
Oh, thank you, Sunday, and thank you, Zubin. And Sunday, just one last question, because I think it's going to link into what we're going to observe now as well. Over the last few podcasts, you've spoken brilliantly around, I guess, the different scenarios players will now face in this stage of the competition. Ecuador, Senegal, we discussed around the mentality when you know you just maybe need a point and that is enough. USA, Iran, we discussed holding on to a lead. Tonight, how do you manage your game when you have maybe noise and chaos coming from another fixture that potentially could affect your result and outcome?
Well, it's very difficult to do, but I think at the end of the day, because you're going to be playing and you're going to be calculating. Sometimes I've been in such situations where we're playing and we're all looking at the bench, trying to get a sign like, okay, kill it or keep play, or, you know, so it's worrying through your head. But it often bothers the team that needs to get a draw to qualify. The other team that knows it must win, it knows that no matter what, we just have to keep going. Then it's more, and that's why I felt that the Belgians could have done more, because it was either you win or you were out, because a draw was not enough. So it's very difficult to manage, but that's where, like, football is going these days. That's where the sports psychology is coming in. That's where the psychologist now plays in. And at this level, you just have to.
Oh, great, great insight as always. And Chris, final thoughts from yourself?
Yeah, look, this is our 6th 0-0 draw of this World Cup. But I think we can say it's a game that deserved a goal. We've seen the expected goals rating of 4 for Belgium. You know, we had 1-0-0 in the whole of the World Cup in 2018. Something we're definitely going to look into about why teams are not able to find that first goal. But definitely, like I said, not a game that deserved to be a 0-0. There was so many chances, but there we go. It's the 6th one of the tournament.
Thank you, Chris. And a 6th one, I guess, Zubi, you're pleased with as well. We're now off immediately to the Khalifa International Stadium in a group where all 4 nations can still qualify, and this could be another special few hours ahead. From myself, Sunday, Alberto, Zubi, Chris and Harry, thank you for listening, and we'll see you again tonight.
You've been listening to FIFA Insight Live, a Highway 61 production for FIFA Training Centre. For more information and insights throughout the 2022 FIFA World Cup, visit fifatrainingcentre.com.